You'll find a Bible in front of you in the pure, the authorized version of Holy Scriptures in the English language. Pick it up and let's read together in the second epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy. 2 Timothy, and we're reading at chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. And God will seal the reading of his infallible book to our hearts this evening for the Lord's great name's sake. Turn in your Bibles to the third chapter of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Whether we like it or not, the bottom will fall further and further out of this present evil world. Every part of this unclean globe will become more and more hellish and devilish as the days go on. We have warning here of five things that we will see clearly demonstrated and augmented in the coming days. One, deception will be accelerated. This is what this text is saying. It's saying it in plain, unadulterated language. A moral blight has corrupted every branch of humanity to bring about our present evil woe. There will be an increasing cry in the coming days for peace, peace. But there's going to be no peace. Every bone in humanity's structure will be broken. The damning influence of the lost condition of fallen humanity that is going to corrode all the lives of those who are upon this earth. Death will reign masterfully and quickly. And no medicine of man's making or invention will alter one iota of the death potion of which all humanity has partaken. Universal death, sudden death it is, and it will triumph. And it will be triumphing. Universal doom is seizing upon the throats of all the races of this earth. There is none righteous. No, not one. The deception, which is already running on overdrive, is carrying our generation down to hell as fast as it can. The deception has been accelerated every day. The hopelessness of sin is using its full potential to destroy this world as we know it. A God-rejecting world is already manifested in most hellish and dark forms. Adam's race is being hurled over the damnation falls into the perdition of everlasting hell, for which there is no escape. The damnation of hell awaits a Christ-denying, Christ-rejecting, so-called Christian civilization. Ye shall know them, our Savior taught us, by their fruits. And that lesson is manifested all around us every day. Darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. We live in a doomed earth, which is sinking down into the lake of eternal fire. But not only is deception going to be accelerated, but the downgrade is going to be instigated. That great instigation is all around us. Has the Word of God, has the Word of the living God fallen on deaf ears? This know also, 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. What instigation is here? What a universal doom has come to our earth. What a generation we are all part of. Let this world tremble. Let it tremble with the shaking of moral corruption and the hideous wickedness of souls. The tides of wickedness are unrestrained. They are mighty breakers. They're smashing the tide barriers, and whole continents are awash. The atmosphere is going to be the atmosphere of the times of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The atmosphere is going to be the atmosphere of the times of Noah. A cloud of darkness will cover the whole earth, and gross darkness will drown the people of the earth. Only a very tiny minority will keep the true witness in operation, and only small families here and there will preserve the true faith. The wicked will see to it that the message of wickedness will be busy in filling hell with unbelievers. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. If you look with me at 2 Timothy and look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, you will find the warning of the Spirit when he speaks about the falling away from the faith. These once believed and preached the faith, but now they have apostatized. Alas, alas, have we not seen this in the churches of the Reformation? The falling away from the faith. These renegades unworthily used their Christian position and Christian enlightenment and rebelled against the blessed Savior of men. The agency and producer of those instigating the downgrade of apostasy were those who became devil-possessed and gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yes, doctrines of devils, the DDs of Antichrist. The evangelists and apostles of this movement, the Holy Spirit has especially warned us of them, and he tells us they speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. Hell fire has burned away all feelings for the truth, having destroyed the tendernesses of truth's innocency. Evil spirits work through heretical teachers. They are hidden behind the so-called scholarship and intellectualism of the bigwigs. They are fire branded in their own consciences as criminals are branded. The marks of their crime they cannot conceal. There are two points where this apostasy is most marked. They interfere with the divinely appointed and ordered secular arrangement God has appointed between male and female, and also the eating laws which are commended and commanded by God's law. Christian marriage is repudiated. The lusts of the flesh triumph. The orders of eating are cast aside. Unlawful gluttony reigns. These things for which we should have been eternally grateful to God are despised and rejected by these apostates. The sanctification by prayer and the word of God is completely unknown to them. It is the duty of the faithful minister of Jesus Christ to teach and instruct and practice the commandments of God. Hear this word. If thou put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which thou hast followed until now. Deception accelerated. The downgrade instigated. And then we notice the doctrine reprobated. Listen to this. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Listen to it. What an indictment. Note carefully the example the Holy Spirit of God refers us to. Moses and his contest with the magicians of Egypt. Notice how the book of God gives us the names. After over 1,000 years, he names Jannes and Jambres. Their names are already written in the book of damnation. They are registered as those that resisted Moses, as men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. 2 Timothy 3:8. Notice how the Holy Spirit hangs their indictment around their necks. Reprobate concerning the faith. Then comes their damnation. They shall proceed no further. Their judgment will be sudden. It'll be sure. It'll be seething. God himself will finish them. And God's great name in judgment will strike terror into those that followed them. But not only have we the deception accelerated, not only have we the downgrade instigated, not only have we the doctrine reprobated, but we have the devilry intoxicated. Listen. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils. And the doctrine of devils. What a picture is drawn here. This portion of Scripture should be compared with Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 12. This picture is a picture when hell and devilry are let loose. It's a terrifying picture. It's Satan's last fling on earth. What anguish there will be. We need to prepare ourselves for this final struggle. Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then notice fifthly, depravity will be enumerated. And God in this chapter, in the third chapter of Timothy, names and enumerates the evil, the wickedness, the total scandal of a sin. To know what is happening will give us time to prepare and learn to have everything ready for the final victorious battle for the faith. The poet did well when he took his pen and wrote these words, "Not in priesthoods, nor in creed, is the faith we need, O Lord. These more fragile than the reed, can no rest for souls afford. Human systems, what are they? Dreams of erring man at best. Visions only of a day, without substance, without rest. Firmly fix it, Lord, on thee. Strike its roots deep in thy love. Growing ever may we be like the faith of those above. Then though earthly things depart and the heavens pass away, strong in thee shall rest the heart without fainting or decay." Mankind today doesn't love God their maker. The blasphemies that men use concerning God makes at times my blood run cold in my veins. They are lovers of their own selves. Covetous. They think only of themselves and not of anyone else. Boasters, their trust is in themselves. Proud, they blaspheme those who expose their sinful pride. Like Satan in his pride, they shall be utterly destroyed. Blasphemers, nothing of God's is holy to them. They corrupt God's name. They corrupt God's word. They corrupt God's Christ. They corrupt God's gospel. They corrupt God's law. Disobedient to parents. They do not honor their parents, let alone God, but rather blaspheme the family and all its laws and authority. Unthankful. There is no gratitude in their souls. Selfishness personified is their state of mind and heart and behavior. Unholy. Their heart has not one holy throb within it. It is desperately wicked. The Bible says, "Who can know it?" Like the sow, mankind has returned to its wallowing in the satanic mire. Without natural affection, there is not one bit of natural affection about them. Their God is their belly. Truce breakers, they take upon their lips the promise of faithfulness. And before the saliva is dry upon their lips, they have violated their own oath. False accusers, their life is a lie. Their tongue is a lying tongue. It's dipped in the poison of hellish falsehood. Incontinent, they can't control themselves. The devil within them manipulates all their doings. Fierce, they're savage in their ways. Despisers of those that are good. They are not lovers of good. Rather, they hate those who love the truth. Traitors, they are betrayers of those who trust them. Heady, they are puffed up with pride. High-minded, they are headstrong in their wickedness. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Their God is their belly. They are flesh, worshipping flesh. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Their religion is a form. It is not a fact. Creepers, they are like snakes. On their belly they go like their master, the devil himself. What a depravity this scripture has set out before us. We can see its manifestation all over the world. But last of all, there is a solemn word here. Deity will be infuriated. God is an angry God against sin. And those who practice sin. When God's wrath is kindled just a little, that is what is said about God's wrath. What when it is kindled to the pitch of hellfire? God is dreadful in his holy fire. And what must he be when his wrath is kindled everlastingly? To fall into the hands of an angry God, who can describe it? Who can even imagine it? God is angry with the wicked, says my book every day. Though he is not swift to mark iniquity, yet one day he will arise and he will pour out his wrath upon this world, which does not know, and does not want to know, and does not obey his gospel. False religionists will be the first to burn in the fire of God's punishments. It was Cooper, the author of the great hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood," which we were singing. He wrote these words: "When nations are to perish for their sins, 'tis in the church the leprosy begins. The priest whose office is, with zeal sincere, to watch the fountain and preserve it clear, carelessly nods and sleeps upon the brink, while others poison what the flock must drink. His unsuspecting sheep believe it pure, and tempted by the very means of cure, catch from each other a contagious spot, the foul forerunner of a general rot. Then truth is hushed, heresy is preached, and all is trash that reason cannot reach. We live in a day when the foul forerunner is of a general rot. Truth is hushed. Heresy takes the pulpit, and the trash that reason is God is preached abroad. Yes, ungodly nations will feel the wrath of God in time, because not nations, but only souls have an eternity. The ungodly persons will be visited with the everlasting wrath of an infuriated God, angry with their law, hating enmity. Dear sinner friend, I have one message for you tonight. Flee! Flee! Flee from the wrath to come. Where shall you flee? To the everlasting Christ, to the rock of ages. What shall ye cry? God be merciful to me, the sinner. What shall you do? Wash in the fountain filled with the blood of the Lamb. Where will you hide? Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I am hiding in thee. Where will you be safe? You'll be safe in the arms of Jesus. He only can give you a place of safety. He only can take you, a poor, lost, and half-damned sinner already, and lift you from the miry clay and set your feet upon the rock of ages and give unto you everlasting life. I am come that they may go to hell. I am come that they may die the death of the damned. No. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Do you remember a woman called Lot? She was pulled literally by the hands of the angels, Lot's wife. She was pulled out of Sodom. Pulled out of Sodom. And the angel said, run! Don't look back! If you do, you'll perish. And that woman looked back, and she never ran one part of an inch. She became a monument. The salt monument, she solidified. And there under her shadow, the shadow of his own damned wife, Lot ran out of Sodom. The history and the future of that man was awful. And the end of that man was darkness and the shadow of death. I have spoken to you on a subject that is the subject of God in this evil hour in which we live. Today, the history of prophecy had another fulfillment. As Arabs and Jews caught one another by the throats and brought again fire, brimstone, and death to Palestine. These are all pointers that we're living in the last days. But the last days have their ending in the blessed coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God, Jesus Christ is coming again. I came down the road late tonight. I'm never outside these churches at the late hour, and I noticed some of them closed, announcing that they had no Sunday meeting because it was Christmas time. When the churches close, churches that have no gospel, it's a sign of judgment. The doors are locked against those that would seek admission. But there is a door, and thank God it's open tonight. It's the door of the gospel invitation. The door that stands at the entrance to the narrow path that leads a soul from eternal hell to eternal heaven. It would be a terrible thing if that door started to close now and you were on the wrong side of that door. For when it is shut, it never opens again to any who knock upon it. And they stood outside it, and they knocked on the door, and they cried, "Open unto us!" But the Lord with the key said, "I will not be opening unto you. The door is shut against you forevermore." Dear sinner, be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you'll find no open gate, and your cry will be too late. Be in time. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, bless thy word to every heart. Write its eternal truths with flaming words in every soul. May not one leave this meeting outside the door, but may they leave this meeting inside. The door shutting out the world, and inside with Christ forevermore. Bring souls to Christ this night for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.